Hey everyone, and welcome back for another deep dive. You ready to get into it today?
Yeah, let's go.
Awesome. So today we are going to be taking on the challenges of living on Mars or the Moon. Pretty exciting stuff.
Yeah, very much so.
We've got a whole bunch of research piled up here that goes deep into
Yeah.
how to turn science fiction into science fact. You know,
What?
how do we actually get boots on the ground and
Right.
stay there?
Yeah, it's one thing to visit, but it's a whole other thing to live there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And speaking of living there, our sources really get into the nitty-gritty, like just how brutal are these environments, really?
Oh.
I was reading one study about solar flares on Mars, and apparently one solar flare could hit you with the same amount of radiation as 1,000 chest X-rays.
Oh, wow.
Doesn't sound very healthy.
No, not at all. And that's just one kind of radiation, too.
Right.
We've got galactic cosmic rays to worry about. Those are a lot harder to shield against. And they can really mess you up, damage your DNA, increase your risk of cancer, even
Yeah.
affect how your brain works. Yeah, so figuring out how to protect ourselves from radiation, that's absolutely key for any kind of long-term mission. Some scientists are even suggesting we use natural features as shelters, things like lava tubes on Mars or craters on the moon.
Lava tubes as radiation shelters. That's pretty wild.
Yeah.
I love how these deep dives always bring up something new.
Yeah.
But radiation's just one piece of the puzzle, right?
Right.
What about the basics? How do we breathe on Mars?
Well, we don't. Not without some serious help. I mean, the atmosphere on Mars is barely there. It's like 1% as dense as Earth's, and it's mostly carbon dioxide.
Right.
So we're talking about pressurized habitats with really advanced life support systems,
Yeah.
constantly recycling air, generating breathable air, like a little bubble of Earth sealed off from the outside.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
But where do we get the materials to build all this stuff? We can't ship everything from Earth.
You're right. That's just not practical. That's where this idea of in-situ resource utilization comes in, or ISRU for short.
ISRU.
Basically, it's all about using what's already there on Mars or the moon.
Okay, I've heard of that, but how does that actually work? Is this like space alchemy?
Well, it's not magic, but it is pretty clever. Like, take water, for example. We know there's water ice on Mars, trapped in the soil and in those lunar craters. So, one idea is to use microwaves to heat up the soil and extract the water vapor.
Like a giant space microwave.
Exactly.
That's incredible. So we could use that water for drinking, for
Yes.
growing plants, maybe even for making rocket fuel.
Exactly. You got it.
And it's not just water, right?
Right.
What about all that lunar regolith? All the rocks and dust on the moon. Can we use that?
Absolutely. We can use that as building material. With 3D printing, we can actually create structures right there on the moon using regolith as the ink.
So we're really talking about building entire habitats from the ground up,
Yeah.
using materials that are already there.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
That's mind-blowing. So we've got the tech figured out, but what about the human side of things? I mean, living in a tin can millions of miles from home, that can't be easy.
You're right. You're hitting a really important point there. We can't forget about the psychological impact. Living on Mars or the moon, that's going to be tough. Imagine the isolation, the confinement, constantly being aware that you're in this alien world.
Right.
We do have some clues from people who've experienced similar things, like polar explorers and submarine crews. They face isolation and confinement too. Studies have shown that being isolated for a long time can lead to sleep problems, mood swings, even problems with thinking clearly.
So how do we deal with those risks? Do we just send astronauts who are already used to being alone?
Well, that's part of it. Yeah, we need to choose the right people, people with the right psychological profiles.
Right.
But we also need to think about designing habitats that promote well-being. Things like biophilic design, bringing elements of nature into the living spaces, or virtual reality systems that can simulate Earth environments or connect people with their loved ones back home.
Sounds like we're talking about way more than just rocket science here. It's like a whole new field of space psychology. Yeah.
Exactly. We are. And we're only scratching the surface. We haven't even talked about the social and ethical implications of establishing a permanent human presence on another planet.
It's mind-blowing to think about.
It is.
This really highlights the scale of what we're talking about here, pushing the boundaries of human ingenuity and resilience.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. And it makes you wonder if we actually manage to do all of this. If we overcome these challenges and build a thriving society on Mars or the moon, what kind of society will it be? What values will it have? Will it be a utopia? Or will it face the same problems we have here on Earth? That's something to think about, isn't it?
It really is.
Yeah.
So the question for all of us to ponder. Thanks for listening to another deep dive. See you next time.